My dear friends, I've a great gospel text for you today and a great story to back it up. Jesus said long ago, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know, years ago in the land of Europe, there was a very wealthy man who lived in a lovely castle-like home at the top of the hills. And he could stand at his windows and he could look out over this valley. And all the farmsteads and all the acreage of that valley belonged to him. He has been called the richest man in the valley. He lived alone. He was not married. He had no family. He had everything that money could buy, but so sadly, he was selfish, keen in business, never satisfied, always trying to make more. Sadder still, he never bowed his knee in prayer. He never opened the Word of God. He was never found in the house of God. He had little use for those eternal things. The richest man in the valley. But he employed a man to look after his horses who was known up and down the valley as Godly John. I suppose Godly John had never taken much more than 4 or 5 pounds home at the end of the week. He had a wife. He had a big family. He had a little cottage. Dear old Godly John, loved by everybody up and down the valley. A man whose voice was heard in the chapel prayer meetings. A man who could stand up with the open Bible and preach the gospel. A man who after breakfast in the little cottage always bowed the knee in prayer and commended his family to God. Yes, there was a gulf between the rich master and John, the man who minded his master's horses in the stables. The richest man in the valley, and Godly John, who lived in the cottage. One day the wealthy man came down to his breakfast, and as he sat eating, all of a sudden, he heard the big front door bell ringing, and he thought to himself, "My word, who's calling upon me this morning so early at the front door?" He went down the stairs, and he pulled back the bolt, and he opened the great front door, and who should be standing there but John. "What's wrong, John? Anything wrong with the horses this morning?" "No, sir." "Can I speak with you?" "Yes, John. What's the trouble?" "Squire, I must speak to you personally." "Come on in." And the two men stood side by side on the lovely carpet in the beautiful hall. "What's wrong, John?" "Sir, you may think it rather strange, but last night I had a very remarkable dream." He said, "I don't believe in dreams very much, but it was so vivid, it was so striking, I feel God was speaking to me in that dream, and I thought I ought to come and tell you about it." "Tell me about a dream, John? I don't believe in dreams, stuff and nonsense things. What is it?" "Well, sir, God seemed to tell me last night that tonight at midnight, the richest man in the valley is going to die. And I thought, sir, I ought to come up and tell you." "What's that, John? The richest man in the valley is going to die at midnight? Oh, stuff and nonsense. Who believes dreams anyhow? You needn't worry about me. I'm fighting fit." "I hope you're not offended, sir." "No, John. You go and mind the horses." And an old man turned away and went round the back of the great house to mind the horses. And the richest man in the valley went back to his breakfast. But he couldn't forget John's words. Breakfast over, he got about his business, but again and again they came ringing through his mind, "The richest man in the valley is going to die at midnight." About the middle of the morning, he got his gig out, hitched up his horses, went down the valley, right down the valley to the little town at the bottom, and putting his horse and trap outside, he walked in to see the doctor. "Doctor, can you give me a check-up?" "Yes, Squire." And soon the doctor was busy with his stethoscope, with his blood pressure pad, giving him a thorough check-through. "Yes," he said, "you're in good condition, Squire. Fine health for a man of your age. I'd give you another 20 years. "I thought so, Doctor. Just a check, you know. Are you free tonight? Could you come up and spend the evening with me?" "Yes, good, fine. Come up at 8 o'clock and we'll have a good meal and we'll smoke a pipe together." But all that day he couldn't forget John's words. the richest man in the valley is going to die at midnight tonight. They got together for a fine meal, Doc and the squire, and after they'd eaten well, they plugged their pipes and sat by the fire, and they talked and talked and talked until it got to 11 o'clock, and Doctor said, "Well, squire, I think I must be off. I've got a busy day tomorrow." "No," he said, "you just stay here. See the midnight hour out with me. You'll never know what your being here has meant to me tonight." And so they went on talking, and slowly the clock moved toward the midnight hour. 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. And all of a sudden, outside in the great hall, the old grandfather's clock began to strike. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, midnight. And Doc got up and said, "I must be off now, squire." And as squire helped him into his coat and saw him out of the great front door, he said, "Well, Doc, thanks. You must come again soon. I'm so glad you spent the time with me." And so, seeing Doc away, he closed the great door and pulled the bolt across, and standing on the same carpet where he had stood with old Godly John earlier that morning, he began to laugh. "What a silly fool I've been, worrying all day about that old fool's words." "Fighting fit," said Doc. "Another 20 years. I'll have a good night's sleep now." And going up the great staircase, he went into his bedroom and began to get his coat off and undress, when all of a sudden he heard a noise. It was the front door bell ringing, and as he heard it, instinctively something within him said, "Good God, what's that?" Pulling his coat on, he dashed down the stairs, he pulled back the bolt, he opened the door, and a flood of light went out into the darkness, and there, standing on the steps, was a girl weeping with a shawl thrown round her head and shoulders. "What's the matter?" "Squire, Mother sent me up to tell you that Father died at midnight tonight." "Your father died at midnight tonight? Let's see, who is your father?"
"John, sir. He works for you. Mind your horses."
"John? Godly John died at midnight tonight? Oh, I'm sorry. Tell Mother if there's anything I can do to help her, I will. I'll be down first thing in the morning." And as a weeping girl turned back into the night, very slowly the squire pushed the door to and pushed the bolt across. And stepping back onto the carpets, a strange emotion filled his heart, and his hands went up to his head as he cried, "Oh, God, what a fool I've been. All this day I thought that I was the richest man in the valley. And it was old John, who is rich in faith, who is rich in the things of God, who has been laying up treasure in heaven for years, who was going to hear the call into eternity tonight. And I, whom a pauper in God's sight, I, who've never laid a cent up in heaven, I thought I was the one. Oh, God, what a fool I've been. Why not today weigh those great issues? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Are you rich toward God? Have you got that priceless salvation that Jesus died to win for you? Have you got those blessings in Christ Jesus that are eternal, that no one can rob you of? If you haven't, seek the Lord while he may be found, and settle this great question today. Dare not sleep, don't sleep, without really doing business with the Savior and tasting of his great salvation. God bless you.